20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Welcome in, Packer fans, to another episode of Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm Matt Fralick. Alongside me, back in action, is Janelle Mackey. Janelle, this is probably the first podcast we've ever had where we talked about almost nothing related to the Packers before getting into it. We had to discuss, obviously, that pandemic that is coronavirus and how it's affecting our lives. So, yeah, you're working tomorrow a little bit, and that's about it, huh?
Yep. I work in a school, so it'll be work with no kids, so won't really feel like work, but it'll be really interesting just kind of seeing how at least my work is going to change throughout the next few weeks, maybe longer. I don't know. Yeah, it's weird. Yeah. Usually we kind of pregame our podcast with what we want to talk about, and this was the most like political talk we've had, just like talking about the world and kind of crazy, just kind of what's going on. But no matter what goes on out in the world out there, we always find time for Pack-A-Day. So
for sure. And like, there's no better time right now to be catching up on podcast episodes. I know I'm working from home tomorrow and probably for the foreseeable, at least a week. But yeah, there's episodes of our podcast that'll be diving into, other podcasts I listen to. So it's just that good. I mean, you have to be absorbing other content at this point. And you don't have kids tomorrow. You could listen to old Pack-A-Day podcast episodes as well.
Exactly. I mean, we all need our sports filler right now. So
I'm itching. But so anyways, Dan yesterday, our other partner in crime here, was able to break down the free agent signings, which, you know, was like a bonus episode. So Christian Kirksey obviously signed, linebacker from the Browns, for 2 years, $16 million. And Ricky Wagner, outside tackle from the Lions. I've kind of been a fan of him. Whenever the Packers had played the Lions, he seems like a real physical guy, kind of will fit that mold of that offensive line. And he signed also for a two-year deal for only $11 million. So sure enough, that inside linebacker spot and that right tackle spot, it kind of paints a picture, Janelle, of what's going to happen with Blake Martinez and Brian Bulaga. More than likely, they're going to be gone. But where do you stand right now on the two signings? And are you going to be, you know, do you think we'll be a year from now, 9 months from now, be kicking ourselves that we let either of those guys go? Or where do you kind of sit right now with the new acquisitions?
I mean, I guess for the past few years, I've kind of had this grudge, an unnecessary grudge towards Brian Bulaga. I don't really know where it stems from. I just know that when I think of him, I think about how frustrated I was, not this last season per se, but I think it was two seasons ago where he just looked like a saloon door. And I was like, is it because he's older? Is it because of injuries? Like, is he just not as strong anymore? Last year was better, but like I said, like those injuries, the age, it's kind of like if they were to keep him, they'd be bringing Wagner in probably to replace him knowing that he's going to get hurt. That's kind of how I see it. He's either going to be gone or they're preparing Wagner to step in there because Bulaga, I don't know if he played like when his last full season was, but it just seems like there's always something wrong with him, whether it's shoulder, arm, but I don't know. I see Wagner as kind of a, we're ready in case something happens. I don't know per se, because it sounds like going into this year, like they were very set on Bulaga. So it just, there's so much up in the air with it, wondering like, will Wagner kind of come in as the backup? Kind of like, it seems like they're preparing this line, like with the Billy Turner signing last year and kind of getting this younger line. So don't know if we'll get rid of Bulaga right away or if we're going to try and transition Wagner so that when Bulaga's gone, then he can jump in easier. But
yeah, I could see that with like using him as like the Valdir spot, like having, but I think he's a starting tackle. Like I really do. Like, and I think Bulaga, we'll talk about these numbers a little bit more in depth, but like before free agency started, like I think it seemed like Bulaga was, what I thought I saw a few times and looking on SpotRack and other, you know, contract analytical sites, like I thought he was going to make anywhere from like $8 to $10 million a year. It kind of seemed that way, especially just like you said, like he had a good year last year, 2 years ago. I'm in the same boat with you. Like I was not confident that he was going to be, you know, starting in 2019. I think the Billy Turner signing especially was like, oh, he's going to compete for like Bulaga's job. So that was a little concerning. And now it's to the point where it's like, dang, like he actually did have a pretty good year. He didn't miss any time via injury this year. It was just he was active on the roster when that like sickness, not coronavirus, was going through the locker room. And he was on the 53 and then they scratched him but he didn't play. Like they just had Veldier play and he played well. So that was really the only time. But yeah, it's like he had such a promising year that you'd like to see him stay around. But I get it. Like they're trying to get a little younger. I think Rickney Wagner's like a cheaper, like I said. I think he's a better overall tackle. I think he's a little bit more durable. I like it. I'm a fan of him. As far as the Christian Kirksey, like you mentioned this right away, Janelle, this is the one thing we actually talked about before the podcast that was Packer related. Just Kirksey's injury history. Like, is that going to be a kind of a concern? He did come off a big pectoral injury, I believe last year, 2 years ago. Like how are we feeling about the Kirksey subbing out for Martinez?
Yeah, I think, 2018 it was hamstring, 2019 he had pectoral surgery. So it's kind of like, you just look at health-wise, and Martinez is always healthy, it seems like. He's always there, he's always ready. Mm-hmm. So it's just kind of like that nervousness, like, okay, well, we have this guy here who has shown that he's at least reliable to be in the game. But at the same time, it's like, would we rather risk this guy who has so much potential for a guy who... like, yeah, he's in the game, but is his head really in the game? Like, what's he really contributing, right, even though he's starting 16 games a year? So hopefully this is just like a little bug, a little fluke that Kirksey's been kind of dealing with. And, I mean, you look at his stats before those injuries and it's like he's got solid numbers. I mean, almost
big numbers.
Like Martinez. So it's like – and, like, you were kind of seeing pattern like, okay, his rookie year, second year – yeah, kind of just average numbers, and then he was really starting to pick it up. And then, of course, that injury bug kind of got to him. So it's like, it's kind of risky, but like you said, like, what we're paying for him, it's not like we're putting all our money on a guy who is injury prone, which is really good.
Exactly.
And this is kind of, I feel like every podcast we talk either wide receivers or inside linebackers. So here we are again talking about an inside linebacker, and it's like, Martinez will probably get other offers more money than what Packers are willing to pay him. So even if the potential to keep him, even if we thought Blake Martinez was a solid linebacker, which, I mean, over the year, like, I've had a soft spot for Blake Martinez and I always want him to do better, but I think it's everybody kind of knows, he knows, we know, like, last year was his last year in this color and it's time to just start bringing other guys in. So I don't know. I'll miss Martinez, but
yeah, it sucks when there's guys that have been on the team for a while that have just been solid. Like, you know what I mean? Like that, it sucks because it's like a new era, but I get it. Like you have to clean house and yeah, maybe it's an injury bug. I don't have this data in front of me, but normally when like a player gets injured quite a bit, I'll try to go back and look at like high school or college to see if that's actually just like, if that's in their pedigree, like if they've had multiple big injuries, but if it's a few seasons, big injuries in his professional career, I'm not too worried about it.
Yeah, and they're different injuries too. It doesn't seem
right, like exactly
really injuring. It's like hamstring and
pectoral, sure,
completely different parts of the body. It's just kind of.
You mentioned this year or in the 2020 season that Kirksey's deal will be, it's like guaranteed like $4 million only, correct?
I think so. Yeah, it's a really it's worth $13 million about, but he's only guaranteed $4 million.
If they cut him after the season, right? If they cut him after the season, out of that 2 year, $16 million, there's only $2 million to be dead cap going into the following year. So really, I mean, it's a team friendly deal. Same with Rickney Wagner. Like if they cut him after this season, going into 2021, it's only $1.75 million they're losing. So collectively, it's not too bad. And just to put in perspective, I cannot pronounce this guy's name, but the offensive tackle that signed to the Lions, Vate, he's a Hawaiian gentleman from the Eagles. He signed a 5-year, $50 million deal. So, like, just kind of put that in perspective of where – and he wasn't really that good. Like, he subbed in for Jason Peters a little bit last year on the Eagles, or multiple years when Jason Peters injured. But it just kind of shows, like, the Packers, once again, just getting value. I like these two guys, real physical dudes. I think they're going to add some toughness to, that interior of the defense, and then also on the offensive line, which I feel like they've lacked a little bit, especially on the right side. So I'm excited. But obviously, Dan wasn't able to talk about this one, Janelle. So I'm going to kick this one off to you. Jimmy Graham signed today. Chicago Bears, 2 years, $16 million, $9 million guaranteed. Not as friendly of a deal as maybe the Christian Kirksey or the Ricky Wagner, but Jimmy Graham kind of knew he was going to leave. Isn't it just better that he signs with the Bears? Like, isn't that hilarious?
It's like kind of how when the Vikings pick up who we cut and you just kind of laugh.
Yeah, they did that for years.
They're kind of like picking up the trash on the side of the curb. Not comparing Jimmy Graham to trash, but it's just kind of like the, like digging through the garbage, like seeing what they can find in their neighbor's dumpster. And it's, it is interesting. And it's just kind of like, you look at Jimmy Graham's numbers over the years, like obviously he'll never be better than he was in New Orleans. Like it's just not where he's going, but team by team, like his numbers just get worse, like declined with Seattle, even more decline with Green Bay. And it's like, at this point, Bears don't even know who is going to be throwing Jimmy Graham the ball.
There's seriously, like rumors of Teddy Bridgewater. Like,
it could be Bridgewater, could be Foles, it could be Dalton, it could be Trubisky. Like, who knows right now? So it's kind of like you're paying a lot of money for a guy that you don't even have a guy throwing him the ball yet.
Yeah, no, that's fair. And like, his numbers are only going to get worse. You would think he's always played with good quarterbacks, and his numbers have decreased, you know, over the years, even with great quality quarterbacks.
He had Breeze, he had Wilson, and he had Rodgers. And it's like, those are three, like, pretty solid quarterbacks in the league. And then now he's going to go to a team who has obviously struggled with that. And I don't know. It sucks because I really rooted for Jimmy Graham with this team. Like, I really wanted him
to. Janelle, you have such a soft spot for all three guys we've talked about.
I know, except Bulaga. Like, no offense to Bulaga.
Okay, all right.
But it's just like, I don't know. I think it's because we signed him after Jordy got cut. So I was like, okay, I really want him to do well, make it seem like it was worth it. So then I think I just tie it to Jordy, where it like breaks my heart knowing, okay, well, he was the big signing after he got cut and he really didn't do what he was supposed to. So then my Jordy heart breaks a little bit thinking like, well, was it really worth it? And I know everything goes back to Jordy in my world, but
somehow like it definitely, it sucks back in. But as we're recording, I want to just throw this information out. So there's two signings that happened while we're recording. One was right beforehand. So, as breaking news that it'll get on a podcast we record the night before, Raiders reach agreement with Marcus Mariota.
Oh, so interesting.
Yeah. John Gruden gets his, maybe his dynamic quarterback that he wanted down to Vegas. And then the other one that was kind of right before we started recording, Janelle, was George Fant, the offensive tackle from the Seahawks, actually reached a deal with the Jets. So to put that in perspective as well, George Fant, not that great. He was like kind of sometimes like the sixth offensive lineman the Seahawks would sub in. They put him eligible once in a while, kind of like a maybe could be a tight end situation, but he's getting 3 year, $30 million with $13.7 million guaranteed. So again, the Packers are getting good value. Like that's really what it's coming down to the last two off seasons. I love it. And it's early. Like that's the difference between last year and this year. Like last year, they kind of slow played Zadarius and Preston and Adrian Amos.
Yeah,
like this year they were ready. Like there had to be some tampering going on. There had to be. There's no doubt.
Well, I mean, like the sports world's basically suspended, so everybody
they got nothing better to do.
Too excited to push it off anymore. Yeah, it's like today was just such a hectic day, and just kind of watching everything that's happening between who's getting released and like who's getting signed by who. Okay, like the Hopkins Johnson trade, like that's still just
unbelievable
in the back of my mind. Like, I could understand if it was Johnson maybe 3 years ago and Hopkins today, but Johnson, who has been kind of meh, injured, whatever, not putting up the numbers, for Hopkins, like in his prime right now, who's arguably like the top receiver in the league, it's just mind-boggling. It's kind of just like, what is going on right now? But yeah,
The crazy part is too, like Houston doesn't have a GM right now. Like Bill O'Brien's like, yep, we're going to handle things internally in the coaching staff. Like he said that like a month and a half ago. And I don't understand how it's like, okay, you got through one offseason, like you got through one season, it kind of worked. Like you stockpiled some picks or traded away guys. Like you kind of made some moves on your own, Bill. But at this point, like hire hire a GM. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Like you said, Hopkins is my favorite receiver in the league, hands down. Like, he's fantastic. And you're going to put him in an offense now with Cliff Kingsbury, Larry Fitzgerald, Kyler Murray, Kenyon Drake. Like, that's – they got some offense. And, like, like you said, like, David Johnson 3 years ago, this seems fair. Like, Madden would accept this trade. And, like, now, like, there's no way. Like,
Johnson with
his wrist injury and his numbers –
I can't remember the picks that they got with it.
It was a second rounder and a fourth rounder with David Johnson, and then Hopkins was paired with a fifth, I think. The second rounder is like the 37th overall, so maybe they're going to go for a receiver there to replace Hopkins, and they do have Will Fuller and a couple guys, but I mean, they got rid of Jadeveon Clowney and DeAndre Hopkins in the matter less than 12 months.
Yeah, I don't know what they're trying to do, but
no, it doesn't make sense. So as far as
JJ Watt, maybe next year will be somewhere else. I don't know.
Who knows?
Yeah.
And as far as like remaining cap for the Packers, let's just get into that a little bit. Like tight end wise, they still probably need a tight end unless, you know, on the roster right now, it's Sternberger, Robert Tonyan, Mercedes Lewis, James Looney, who they transitioned obviously last year. I don't know if I'm missing another name, but maybe Sternberger's the fit. Maybe I still feel like they go get someone. Austin Hooper did sign today with the Browns, so that kind of leaves him out of the mix.
Like, were you rooting for Hooper or were you against Hooper with the Packers signing?
Kind of. I was here nor there. Like, I could have done without him. Like, and that the reason being is like he never really had that great of numbers. It's a very, very small sample size when Hooper, I think, was a rookie, and see, this is such a stretch that I connected these dots. I feel like a nerd. So Hooper was a rookie on Atlanta, and Matt LaFleur was like the quarterback coach or the offensive coordinator at the time. So like, I know they have some continuity there and they've worked together, but I don't know whatever. And like, just going off of LaFleur's numbers in a larger perspective, it's like most of the tight ends in his offense don't perform that well. I feel like this will actually transition me. Delanie Walker actually had really good numbers when he was with the Titans and LaFleur was there. So that might be someone they're considering. I would love that. I think Delanie Walker fits the offense a little bit better, where they're trying to move him around a little bit in that like that fullback, halfback situation and get him split out. So I wouldn't hate Delanie Walker. I just don't feel like the tight end free agency class was super great. So it's like Austin Hooper just flies to the top of the list and he had a really good year last year. So there's like combinations that way. But if they do want to go sign a tight end or another receiver or get a receiver, I should say. So SpotRec has it right now saying that they have $18.6 million in cap left for 2020. Now, mind you, they still have to sign the draft picks. They have 10 of them right now. And again, going off a spot rack, love them. Those 10 picks have more than likely on average, it'll allocate $7.6 million for those 10 picks. So little math here on Pack a Day Podcast, 18.6 they have left minus the 7.6 that they're probably going to have to spend. You have $11 million left over. And that would probably get you into the range of maybe signing two guys or one, you know, monster of a guy. $11 million would be quite a bit of money, and I think they want to have maybe some wiggle room there. I would doubt that they draft all 10 positions. I think normally this is what Gutekunst is trying to do, is just stockpile picks, get into that 8, 9, 10 double-digit number, and then try to consolidate them and use that equity to move around in the draft and have some, you know, working pieces. But I mean, $11 million, you know, that's some money to work with. Do you think there's a player out there or a position out there you want to see them go after? Obviously, we know, like I said, I'll look at my phone here as you answer this question to see if there's anyone else that's flying off the board on the Twitter sphere. But is there anyone at a position or a name that you're interested in maybe seeing use that money?
I mean, this isn't someone I'm interested in, but it's somebody I've heard rumors about and some people want them, like Diggs. From the Vikings.
Sure,
like,
Stephon Diggs. Okay.
Kind of floated around. I know some people are really in on it, and like obviously he put out that really vague tweet today that whatever.
He's so cryptic on social media. Yeah. I hate it, and I hate that people follow it.
It could mean anything.
Drives me nuts.
Like that he's just changing his number this year. Who knows?
Yeah. But there you go. I didn't even think of that.
I know some people they're like, I would love to see it. And it's like, I really am not a fan of Diggs, not just because he wears purple, but because of his attitude. But yeah. I think about like him and Adams have a relationship too. So it's like, you kind of put that in the mix and it's like, how maybe his ego would change. Maybe it'd be different. I don't know. Based on what I know about him right now, it's like, if he were an option, I would not want to take him. But you kind of just factor in those things like, okay, well, him and Adams have this really good connection. Like, he's a great athlete, but his ego, like, I'm a big ego person. Like, I don't like guys with big heads, so I don't care all that. You can have all the talent in the world, and I wouldn't want you playing for my team because it's hard for me to root for you then. But I don't
know. I'm okay, like, ego-wise. Like, that's kind of what it is in sports, but, like, when your ego isn't matching your productivity, it's a distraction. And then when that distraction bleeds over into you, you know, pissing and moaning about not getting the ball thrown to you or whatever else, and it's not working, like, that's when it becomes a problem. So, like, Odell Beckham, when he was, like, going off and, you know, proposing to cheerleaders and getting in altercations with kicking nets, like, he was still, like, I was okay. I was coming around to him. And then, like, the kind of production fell off, and it was just, like,
and then he kind of had like, some issues out in the public. And
exactly. Thank you. I even forgot about that. Like,
there was just time like, I too, like, for a while, I was like, OBJ is really egotistical. And I was like, but he's super good. So I get it.
Yeah.
And then
there I'll deal with that. But like, Stephon Diggs isn't like that. Like, I don't see him. Like, he's good. But like, when he's not good, you know he's not doing good. Like, it's when he doesn't have good stats, like, he's just pissed. And then they have to feed him the ball, and it just doesn't work. Like, you can't have a player like that. And LaFleur turned this culture around in the last month, or, like, the last 12 months. Like, let's not screw it up and bring a, you know, a cancerous person into the locker room.
Yeah, and it's hard because, like, I look at the receivers and free agency-wise, who's available. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I think I said it last time, my probably – too far of a stretch wish would be Amari Cooper. Like, if we could have one player, he's who I would want. And I think brought up AJ Green at one point, but now he's franchise tag, so he's kind of off the table for me. But he's somebody who
Cooper, I mean, I didn't think Cooper would stand a chance. Like, that might work. 11 million, they might be able to sign him for 11 million. Like,
you never know.
I don't know. That would be wild.
That would be my one. If I got a free agency wish and we could have anybody that I wanted, that's who I would want. Like, can you imagine Adams getting the ball from Rodgers and then you got Aaron Jones? Oh, it'd be lethal. It'd be great. But
I love it.
Those are just my wishful thinkings as I sit here and miss sports for the next few months.
That's what I'm hoping for. I'm going to go with Amari Cooper. Good
receiver draft. So it's like, don't know what they'll do left with free agency. They already got a linebacker, which is kind of one of the things, obviously, we've said plenty of times that they were going to target. And then we kind of just briefly touched on tight ends, and you kind of just wonder. I remember, I'm going to go back all the way to one of our kind of first episodes, or when I think we were talking about how Rodgers' numbers, when Jordy got hurt, he really focused on the tight ends. Richard Rodgers was his number one target. So it's kind of just wondering, well, now that LaFleur is running this offense, would Rodgers still prefer the tight end target? And are these tight ends going to be able to produce if that's kind of who he still favors?
It's a great question.
So it's just kind of one
really
of
those, is like,
but I feel like we always end up with so many tight ends. Like, we always sign so many new ones every year. Yeah. It's just like we have an abundance of tight ends. So part of me feels like this crew that we have is something we could run with, but
I like Sternberger. I think he's versatile, and Tanyan, like, I think he can put up numbers, but I just, maybe it'll work. I don't know if they get another, like, a dynamic guy like Cooper, that could work.
Yeah. I think it will all depend on receivers too. If you don't go out and get the big receiver you want, you might need to go get a new tight end, but
Exactly.
That's the thing. Like, we haven't really thought about tight ends because we're so focused on receivers, but it's more so who's going to be the big target for Rodgers besides Adams.
That's really what's going to come down to, honestly. Like, it's really going to come down to if Devontae can – he's going to get a lot more attention this year, I think. He had a really big year last year statistically, excuse me. And I just felt like the publicity around him was a little bit more than it had been in the past. Like, people were recognizing him for his footwork. Mm-hmm. Chad Johnson had like a bromance with him. So anytime you're on Chad Johnson's radar on Twitter, like, that's a huge following. So I just think overall the public perception of him is going to be a little stronger. So they got to have someone to compliment him, but that's where things are right now for free agency.
Do you have any wishful thinking with free agency? Like,
I like Delanie Walker. I think that's a fun one. He's had some injuries, though, like you said, just like Christian Kirksey, where it's like he's been banged up. And I just think that would fit the offense really well. He's got continuity with LaFleur. Cooper would be super good. Defensive side of the ball, I want to see them go get a defensive lineman still. Dan and I, who do the podcast, you know him. You've met Dan before. we started this thing where we're simming the 2019 season, like adding certain players on Madden, calling it Run It Pack.
Oh, and I didn't do
that. Yeah. So Michael Pierce, we tried him out on the team. He was pretty good. Like, that's someone who I think they would be able to go after. I don't know what he's going to get as far as, like, obviously his market value and stuff. I'm pulling it up right now at SpotRack. He only was paid $3 million last year. This year, I can't pull it up, but he's probably going to get in the range. I mean, defensive linemen have been getting paid a little bit this year already. If I had a guess, I would say he's going to get around like $7 million, $8 million is what I have to think. And I don't think he's coming back to the Ravens, because the Ravens have been making moves. They signed Calais Campbell. So if I had, like, Michael Pierce, I want a big dude in the middle that can be dynamic with Kenny Clark. And if it's Dean Lowry as the third option, or a subbed in Rayshon Gary, or, hybrid two down lineman packages, and you have Za'Darius Smith off the edge, cool. But I think they just needed to get another big guy. So Michael Pierce is my, like, rational football mentality. And, like, I'm playing Madden and trying to sling it around with Aaron Rodgers as much as possible. It's Amari Cooper or Delanie Walker. And I'll probably lean towards, Delanie Walker, just so they have a chance to get a couple of these stud receivers in the draft. Cause like you said, I love them. Everyone's knowing about them. So there's guys I want to see them get. So that's kind of where I'm at, I guess.
It's kind of crazy that we're more focused on the offense now. All of a sudden, like, I'm so used to thinking, we need defense, we need defense, we need defense. And now it's like, we need receivers, we need tight ends, we need offensive linemen. It's
a good problem to have. It's a fun problem to have.
It's like complete 180 spin on what we've been focusing on for so long with this team. But it's kind of nice not having to worry so much about the defense, because for the first time in a long time, they're pretty solid.
Yeah, and we're protecting Rodgers too. Like, they've invested now 2 years in a row, adding pieces that they think are going to be better and give him a better chance of being has feet standing up. But that's what we have really for the episode today, guys. I checked my phone. There's no other real big signings as we're recording at 9:15 Central Time on Monday night. So stick with us all this week. Obviously, free agency, we're only less than 24 hours into it. There's going to be a ton more coming out. That second wave, like last year when the Packers did their damage with the Smith brothers and Amos, we know how that worked out. So maybe there's another one in the works. My gut says it probably won't come till later in the week. If it does, I don't think it'll be tomorrow, but there'll be definitely some signings to come about. As Janelle mentioned, Amari Cooper's still out there. There's a ton of other guys that are going to sign within the league and change the dynamic. The Dolphins already dove in. They signed Byron Jones today, a few other gentlemen. So it'll be interesting. It's going to be fun. This is what we've been waiting for as far as podcasters. We love coming up with different ideas and stuff for the last month and a half, but it's fun to really start breaking down and seeing kind of how the crystal ball breaks out. And okay, this is who it kind of seems like they're going to target in the draft now, because they signed this guy and this guy. And it's cool. It's cool to connect the dots. But stick with us. We just passed our 600th episode for Pack a Day Podcast, which is incredible. But Janelle, where can everyone find you as far as your Packer knowledge goes?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at BigMac_4. Mac is MACK.
Awesome. You can find Dan on Twitter at DK all the way. That's the letter DK all the way. He would appreciate that. As he says, he tweets out stupid stuff, so follow him for that. You can find me on Twitter at Matt_Frey_. That's at MATT_FRA_. But that's what we have for you tonight. other than that, Janelle, we end every episode with a
go pack go.